Walk the north end of the exhibit hangars this week, and you'll pass a booth where a demo yoke sits on a pedestal wired to a little glass display. Somebody from the crowd sits down, grabs it, and hauls it over into a steep bank, way over 60, 70 degrees, and then something strange happens. The yoke pushes back, not hard, not dramatically, just a steady, patient nudge in the opposite direction, coaxing the airplane back toward wings level. The person in the seat lets go, and the airplane rights itself. That's the moment people stop walking. That's the demo that draws the line at Oshkosh. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar. Today we're going to talk about the technology behind that little demonstration. It's called Electronic Stability and Protection, and it is one of the most quietly important things to happen to the general aviation cockpit in the last 20 years. Let's break this down. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey, beautifully made and built to last. If you want to hold on to the moments that actually mattered in your flying, that's AviationSoul.com. So let's start with what this technology actually is, because the name gets thrown around loosely. Electronic Stability and Protection, which most people just call ESP, is a feature that lives inside a modern digital autopilot. And here's the part that surprises people. It works even when the autopilot is switched off. Think about that for a second. You're hand flying. The autopilot is not engaged, you're the one moving the controls. But underneath your hands, the system is watching. It's watching your bank angle, your pitch attitude, your airspeed. And if you push the airplane toward the edges of its safe envelope, the servos, the same little electric motors that drive the autopilot, start applying gentle pressure to nudge you back. Here's what most people miss. This is not the autopilot flying the airplane. This is the autopilot acting like a spring. A spring that only pulls in one direction, towards safe, and only when you get close to trouble. Roll past a certain bank angle, and it adds aileron pressure to roll you back. Pitch up toward a stall, or pitch down into an accelerating dive, and it adds pitch pressure the other way. Let the airspeed creep up toward the never exceed number, and it raises the nose to bleed it off, and the deeper you push into the danger zone, the harder it pushes back. Right up until, if you ignore it long enough, some systems will simply engage the autopilot and fly you back to straight and level on their own. The data tells an interesting story about why this matters, and to understand it, we have to talk about the accident that haunts general aviation. Loss of control in flight. It is year after year the leading cause of fatal accidents in general aviation. Not engine failures, not weather, directly. Loss of control. The airplane departs controlled flight, and the pilot cannot get it back. And when you dig into those accidents, a pattern shows up over and over. The base to final turn, where the bank steepens and the nose drops. The dark night over featureless terrain, where a pilot without an instrument rating slowly, without realizing it, rolls into a spiral. The classic graveyard spiral, where every instinct tells the pilot to pull back on the yoke, which in a bank only tightens the dive. These are not stupid pilots. These are ordinary pilots caught in situations where the airplane got away from them. In a way, the human vestibular system is genuinely bad at catching. Your inner ear will lie to you. It has been lying to pilots since the very beginning. So the engineers asked a simple question. What if the airplane could catch the mistake before the human does? Now, here's where I want to be honest with you, because balance is the whole point of this show. This idea did not start in a Cessna. It started in the airlines and in the fighter world, and it started as a fight about philosophy. Go back to the 1980s. Airbus builds the A320 with what they called hard envelope protection. Fly-by-wire, computers between the pilot and the flight controls, and those computers would flatly refuse to let the airplane exceed certain limits. You can pull the side stick all the way back into your lap, and the airplane will fly right up to the edge of the stall and hold there. It will not let you over. Boeing took the other road, soft protection. The airplane pushes back, it makes the wrong thing harder to do, but a pilot who really means it can override the system with enough force. The philosophy there is that the human being is the final authority. That debate, hard limits versus soft limits, computer as final authority versus human as final authority, has been running in aviation for 40 years, and it is not settled. There are thoughtful, experienced people on both sides. What ESP did was bring the soft version, the Boeing style. The airplane pushes back, but you can override it, down into the world of piston singles and experimental home builds. And that trickle down is a real theme at AirVenture. Because here's the thing about this show. Oshkosh is where this stuff gets democratized. The exhibit hangars are full of avionics companies, Garmin, Dynan, Genesis, others showing glass panels and digital autopilots that would have been pure airline technology a generation ago. And the experimental category is the reason a lot of it exists at all. Let me explain that. Because it's important and a lot of pilots don't fully appreciate it. When you build an experimental amateur-built airplane, the kind that fills the home-built camping area here every year, you are not bound by the same certification rules as a factory-built Cessna or Piper. You can install avionics that have not gone through the full, expensive, years-long certification process. That freedom made the experimental world into a proving ground. Digital autopilots with stability protection showed up in RVs and Lancairs and Vans aircraft years before the certified world caught up. And the companies watched what happened. They gathered the data, they refined the software on thousands of experimental airplanes flown by real owners, and then when the price of certification could be justified, that same technology crossed over into the certified fleet. Garmin's autopilot with built-in envelope protection for certified singles. Dynan getting approval to put its systems into legacy certified airplanes. The home-built world did the research and development, and the whole fleet benefited. That is the AirVenture story in one sentence. The innovation you see flying in the experimental pattern on Monday becomes the safety feature in your rental Skyhawk 5 years later. So, let's talk about the real pros, because there are some genuine ones. The first is that ESP addresses the exact accident that kills the most people, and it addresses it in the exact moment the pilot is least equipped to help themselves. In a spatial disorientation event, the pilot's own senses are the problem. A system that doesn't have an inner ear, that only reads the actual attitude and airspeed, is exactly the right kind of help. The second pro is that it is a teacher, not just a guardian. Fly with ESP active on a nice, clear day, and you will feel it start to engage as you get sloppy. It's a gentle, constant feedback loop about where the edges of the envelope actually are. A lot of instructors have noticed that students who train with it develop a better feel for smooth, coordinated flight. The third pro, and this is the big one, is the escalation path. The best versions don't just nudge. If things get bad enough, a straight and level function, sometimes it's a blue button labeled with the letters LVL, will take the airplane and fly it to wings level, nose on the horizon, all by itself. For a non-instrument pilot who has blundered into a cloud and is about to become a statistic, that button is a genuine lifeline. Press it, take your hands off, breathe. Now the cons, because I promised you balance and hype without caveats is not what we do here. The first honest concern is complacency. Anytime you add a safety net, some people will start relying on it. If a pilot learns to fly sloppy because they know the magic hands will save them, we have traded one problem for another. The technology is a backstop. It is not a substitute for actually knowing how to fly your airplane, and every honest engineer in that exhibit hangar will tell you the same thing. The second concern is the override question, and it's not academic. ESP is soft protection. You can overpower it. That's by design, because sometimes you need to. An aggressive maneuver to avoid traffic, a legitimate reason to bank steeply, but soft protection means there are edge cases. What happens when the system's idea of safe and the pilot's actual intention disagree? Most of the time, the pilot wins, as they should. But the pilot has to understand the system is there and understand how to switch it off, so it never becomes a surprise. Automation surprise is its own category of accident. The third concern is the one that keeps systems engineers up at night. The protection is only as good as the sensors feeding it. ESP is trusting the attitude and air data coming from the same digital sensors that drive your glass panel. When those sensors are healthy, it's superb. But garbage in, garbage out applies to safety systems too. A bad air data input, a blocked PTO, a failed attitude reference, and now your guardian angel has bad information. This is exactly why redundancy and sensor monitoring in these systems matters so much, and why the certification process, expensive and slow as it is, exists in the first place. So, where does that leave us, and what's the honest timeline? Here's the reality. This is not future technology. This is now technology. If you buy a new certified single from the major manufacturers today, envelope protection is very likely already in the panel. If you fly a glass-equipped experimental, you may already have it and use it every flight. The trickle-down has largely happened for new airplanes. The frontier. The thing being worked out in the booths this week is the legacy fleet. There are hundreds of thousands of older airplanes out there, steam gauge Cessnas and Pipers built in the 60s and 70s, that have no digital autopilot at all. Getting affordable, approved, stability, protecting autopilots into those airplanes. That's the active project. The prices are coming down. The approvals, the supplemental type certificates that make it legal, are slowly expanding to cover more and more airframes. That's the work in progress. And the further horizon is the fusion of all of this. Envelope protection, plus automatic emergency descent if the cabin loses pressure, plus the automatic glide to a runway, plus at the very far end, full autoland. Each of these started as a separate feature. They are converging into a single layer of automation that sits under the pilot, silent, watching, and only speaks up when it has to. That's the direction. An airplane that lets you fly, that respects that you are the pilot in command, but that will not, quietly and without drama, let you kill yourself in a spiral on a dark night. I think about that demo yoke pushing back against the stranger's hand. That's the whole philosophy in one gesture. Not taking the controls away, just pushing back gently towards safe. My thanks to the avionics manufacturers and the FAA certification teams whose published material and the accident research from the safety community shaped today's segment. If you want the show notes, they're at radiohanger.com. Next time you're walking these hangars, find that booth. Sit down. Grab the yoke and roll it over hard and feel the airplane disagree with you. It's a strange feeling the first time. It might also be the thing that brings you home someday. This is Vector. Fly smooth.